From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The voters of New Hampshire had their say. Senators Hillary Clinton and John McCain are the winners, the comeback kids. The fact that two other candidates won in Iowa mean there's no clear frontrunner in either major party. The trail stretches on. There are six more contests between now and Super Tuesday on February 5th, and on that day, candidates will have to fight for victory in about two dozen states. Here to give us perspective on the race so far and what lies ahead, we've got Melissa Harris-Lacewell. She's a political science and African American studies professor at Princeton University, plus Michael Dawson. He's a political science professor at the University of Chicago. Hi, folks.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, in a word, oh my goodness, it is definitely going to be fisticuffs from now on. Melissa, what do you make of the fact that you have four winners now, two in each party? Is there any clarity that comes out of this?
It's hard for me to make much of anything of it because we were in New Hampshire with a group of students, and I am pretty tired. I don't think any of us expected the night to be quite so long in terms of waiting for results to come back. So what I will say is that there's no question that this is going to be a national campaign, and in some ways that's a really good thing. There's a lot of reasons to have anxiety about two early states getting to have the whole say in the nomination process. And so now, because we've had in both parties some very different results, it does mean that the rest of the country is going to get in on this story.
Let's take a listen to Senator Hillary Clinton and her acceptance speech.
Together, let's give America the kind of comeback that New Hampshire has just given me.
Michael, what kind of, besides the exuberance, what about the challenges facing Hillary Clinton now?
Well, one of the challenges is that she needs to show that she can hold on to a more diverse electorate than she faced in either Iowa or New Hampshire. It's going to be the core of the Democratic Party is still substantially non-white, and we don't know how well Clinton's going to do among those electorates. It's also the case that she still has to worry a little bit about money, although not as much as she would have had if she had lost last night.
What do you mean by that?
There was some evidence beginning to come in that some of her big donors and some of the not-so-big donors across the country were thinking about at least hedging their bets and contributing some to the Obama campaign. She's probably doesn't have to worry about it at this point, particularly given how much she's spent already. I'm sure that this will help her raise money to go into Super Tuesday.
Let's hear a little bit now from Senator John McCain.
I'm past the age when I can claim the noun kid, no matter what adjective precedes it. But tonight, we sure showed them what a comeback looks like.
Now, Melissa, he is the oldest person in the race, 71 years old. He is known on Capitol Hill sometimes for being perhaps a little frank in the way that he states his displeasure. What else do we know about Senator John McCain?
Well, we certainly know that he's tenacious. This, you know, he was called out of this race months ago and kind of slowly came back. But be clear, he did not come back because of himself. He came back because of Mike Huckabee. So Huckabee wins in Iowa, basically delivering a body blow to Romney, from which Romney simply could not stand back up in the short period of time for the New Hampshire primary. McCain's got a long history in New Hampshire. It was pretty easy for him to just kind of go into the hole that Huckabee had made. But these Republicans in New Hampshire are quite different than the Republicans he's about to meet up with in South Carolina and Florida. Just as Professor Dawson was saying, it's not clear whether or not Hillary Clinton will appeal to the black, brown, and urban voters that still represent the major constituency of the Democratic Party, it's not clear that John McCain is going to be able to appeal to the socially conservative parts of the Southern Republican Party.
What about the polls here? You know, there have been many different approaches to polling and to paying attention to polls. And some of the polls showed Senator Obama up significantly over Hillary Clinton. Did the polls do justice to this kind of race? I'm going to ask you first, Michael, and then Melissa.
I suspect we might have close to the same answer, that there's been a historical pattern of African-American candidates such as Tom Bradley in California several decades ago, but more recently in both the Herald Washington elections in the 80s and others, of having large leads and seeing those leads evaporate at the polling booth itself. So one of the things I think as political scientists that we have become used to is taking with a grain of salt large leads that African-American candidates may have in the polls in electorates that are predominantly white.
Now, wait, explain that to me. Do you mean essentially that people say, well, I like a black person in theory, but then in practice I'm not – I mean, what's the upside of even saying that, that there's the – you know, that you want the black candidate if you're being polled?
Well, you know, I think this Bradley effect was at part at work in this, and there is this kind of socially desirability effect of not wanting to live in a racist country or to be a racist individual. But I don't think it's just sort of easy, naked racism that explains how that racial effect works. Remember that New Hampshire is a very white state, as is Iowa, but in Iowa, people vote publicly with their bodies in front of their neighbors in their communities. So once you've stated who you are for, it's hard to move away from it. In New Hampshire, you get to close the door, and any kind of prejudices that might even be sort of quiet or you're not clear where they're coming from can begin to influence you when you're alone in that polling place.
The other effect, I think, of the social context of Iowa is that the degree that emotion starts to take over and a real positive spirit of hope is established, that makes it easier for a candidate like Obama, who's so good at bringing people together. While more a different type of calculus, I think, as Professor Harris Lacewell suggests, takes place when you're in the room by yourself and not part of that community spirit.
Michael, what about the Republicans and African Americans? So far, you haven't really had to deal with a lot of focus on the black vote because, frankly, there haven't been a lot of black people in Iowa or New Hampshire. But we're rolling on towards South Carolina. Are there any of the Republicans, in your mind, going to start making appeals to African American voters specifically?
I'm skeptical that they will. They've had plenty of opportunity to do so, and they have been pretty clear about rejecting those opportunities, whether it's coming in front of a group of reporters and other African-Americans that discuss issues of concern to the black community in a debate or in other fora. I don't think there are going to be too many of the major candidates outreaching to the black community in South Carolina.
Do you agree, Melissa?
Florida.
Yeah, I think they seem to be folding up the big tent. The Republican Party, I think, has figured out that making high-level appointments of African-American Republicans is sufficient to signal to non-racist white voters that the party is not lily white. That's enough to make sure that you keep white Americans in the party. You really don't need African-Americans to vote for you if you're a Republican. You just need them to not show up to vote for the Democratic candidate. So all you need to do is make sure that you've got your Republican base shored up and that the candidate running on the Democratic side is not sufficiently exciting to get the black vote out, and you've got a victory.
What about a couple of other groups? I mean, there's all sorts of demographic groups we could run through, but Latinos, on the Democratic side or Republican side, do you expect with Nevada coming up, there's going to be a big push to try to identify issues of interest to the Latino voting population?
I think both parties, in theory, would really like to capture a large segment of the Latino vote, but it's going to be much harder for the Republicans to do so this time around due to the stances they've all publicly taken on immigration. Former Mayor Giuliani will probably be trying to outreach to that segment of the electorate. But it's going to be very difficult for a Republican candidate due to the fights within the Republican Party on immigration to be able to make the inroads that they may have had and be able to in the past.
Melissa, let me ask you about unions. There's a lot of talk about, particularly on the Democratic side, who will end up affiliating with whom, particularly since Obama, Clinton, and Edwards are all making their play for union endorsements. Any sense of how those are going to pan out?
Well, certainly unions were the stronghold of Edwards in New Hampshire. That was visible even at the rallies. All of the signs were these kind of labor union-based signs. But the fact is, the unions are going to need to back a winner, and they're going to start making some predictions about whether or not they think Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama is most likely to take this Democratic nomination. I suspect that the unions are going to be much more strategic rather than sincere, which is just to say that there is very little difference between Obama and Hillary from the perspective of the unions themselves. So they're just going to try to hedge their bets, probably support both for a bit, and let it kind of fall out until they can decide who's going to be the winner. I suspect different unions in statewide levels will back who they think is going to win their states on Super Tuesday. Everybody wants to be in the winner's circle. And the question is, which one of these two campaigns is going to do the best job of convincing Democratic voters that they're going to be the ultimate nominee? And that's going to be really, really tough given these two outcomes.
Now, Senator Obama introduced a new slogan in his speech last night. Let's take a listen.
It was a creed written into the founding documents that declared the destiny of a nation. Yes, we can. It was whispered by slaves and abolitionists as they blazed a trail towards freedom through the darkest of nights. Yes, we can. It was sung by immigrants as they struck out from distant shores and pioneers who pushed westward against an unforgiving wilderness. Yes, we can.
As we say in Los Angeles, si se puede. Is that going to attract anyone new, Melissa? This new theme?
Well, I mean, the one thing you got to love about the Obama campaign is they're going no holds barred on writing some of the best political rhetoric in American history. I mean, no matter what happens with Obama's presidential campaign, ultimately, these speeches, the Iowa speech, the DNC speech, his nominating speeches, I mean, these are some of the really the best moments. Just it's fun to listen to as a political scientist. So will it have an impact on voters? Probably not. I don't think that's exactly how voters make their decisions. But I do suspect that any time you get these taglines, kind of a way of saying, this is who we are, we're about yes, we can. It was a very powerful and I think good moment, because what he needs to do is convince black voters in South Carolina that although he did not win New Hampshire, they can still make the difference in making a winning coalition for him. It is exactly that question of whether or not we can, right, whether or not African Americans can back a winning candidate that is up for grabs. And now he's got the slogan to tell them everywhere he goes, yes, we can.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there, guys. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Melissa Harris-Lacewell is a political science and African American studies professor at Princeton University. She spoke with us from Princeton Communications Studios, and Michael Dawson is a professor at the University of Chicago who joined us from their studios. This is NPR News.